Yes, it is. As Johnny says, an important morning, an important day for us as Grace Church. And I'm going to come and share some stuff that has been on my heart for some time. And I kind of, just been thinking over for some time and just want to talk it out today, through today, this morning and evening. I came to write my notes for this morning, which I do every time I preach, and I had set up my document beautifully and written my title at the top and written introduction, and getting it all set up, getting the first words onto the paper are always a bit of a battle. And I know, if you've ever been a student or written any essays, you'll know what that feels like to get going, to move things forward. Where you might maybe done lots of research, you've read around the topic, you've done your background reading, you kind of know what you're going to say, but it just feels like a significant task ahead of you and not always that clear exactly where to start. Liz, I think, is similar when she'll like to write a list of jobs to do or something, and she'll get a nice list written, and then it's actually starting with the jobs is another thing. But actually, this is what I was staring at for quite some time. There is my beautiful document. I was pretty pleased that I managed to get a passage up there as well. Feeling pretty good about myself. And I had loads of notes elsewhere, but I was kind of just struggling to know where to start. This is not that uncommon when I preach. The reason I say it, though, this morning is because as I was staring at this page, it felt like it wasn't just about this particular sermon, but it felt kind of like a representation of where I was at generally at this time. I kind of got loads of things bubbling around, but just where do you start? Where do you start in this moment? And it's a significant sermon because it is a significant Sunday for us. It's a significant season for us, I think, as Grace Church. And I'll get that off you. We don't want to do it too much, but we don't want to do it too little either. And you just think back 2 years, to 2 years ago, and none of us saw it coming in the beginning of 2020. What is probably going to be a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing that has obviously affected our lives, but affected the whole world so dramatically. I think for Grace Church, I think back to a couple of years ago, probably we thought we were entering into a relatively stable season, not in a bad way at all. Obviously turned out not to be the case. And I don't think it's helpful to be overly dramatic, but equally, I don't think it's helpful to downplay the significance of the last 2 years of what we've all just been through. And even now, I try and get my head around, I would never have thought that we would have gone 2 weeks without meeting on a Sunday. It's just, you just don't do that. You just, every Sunday, we take one off for West Point and we feel pretty bad about it, but that is all we do. 16 months we did not meet on a Sunday. That's nuts. It just is crazy what we've been through. To overstate that significance, I think, is difficult. That's 2 years ago, and then 1 year ago, 2021, we all thought we were coming back, and then it was back to full-on lockdown and all the rest of it. And then we went through a significant leadership transition at Grace Church, and again, something we didn't see coming. And that was difficult. It was sad in lots of ways. David Thompson, who's leading the team, felt it was right to step down to focus on his marriage, and that was difficult. But also through all of it, God has been so faithful to us and worked through these difficult things to build even more love and community among us, I think, across our sites at Grace Church. So that's a very, very brief kind of couple of years. Beginning of 2022, I guess we've learned, I don't know what it's going to look like, really. Today is not about, here's what 2022 is going to look like, because we surely have learnt that we are not in control. But I think we can say that this is a significant moment in the life of Grace Church. And actually, it's not just a case of, well, here's the next few months. I think this is a significant moment for the longer term, more general future of Grace Churches. As we do, you know, and who knows, but I think we think we're coming to the beginning of the end or whatever. And as we do think about emerging in light of these things, I know, you know, COVID is not but behind us, but I think lockdowns, at least in terms of church, God willing, are. I will talk more about stuff like that tonight, so do come along. But it's certainly safe to say that this is a significant, a transitional, a pivotal moment in the life of and the future of Grace Church. So as I looked, you can maybe see at my heading and blank page, I was like, where do you start in this? It feels all too familiar. I kind of know what to say in a way. And, you know, as elders, as leaders, we've discussed a lot what kind of church we want to be as we go forward. But in this pivotal moment, what should our focus be? Where do we start? And so spend today. That's what today's about, really, trying to answer some of those questions, give a bit of a shape to those things. And this morning, we'll be focusing on principles, just key values for us as a Grace Church. And then this evening, we'll come and spend some time worshipping. We'll give it all to God, and we'll talk a little bit about how that will look in practice. But this morning, going to be reading from Colossians 1 for the second time this morning. It's where Linda read from. Not the same verses, just a few verses. So if you've got a Bible, then do grab it out. Colossians 1, from verse 3 just to verse 8. Kind of as a launch pad for what I'm going to say. I'll put it up on the screen, but again, I always say, I think it's more helpful you can refer back because it won't stay up on the screen. So have it out in front of you if you possibly can. But Colossians 1, 3 to 8 says this. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. I've got three things, really, that I felt God kind of impress on me, and as leaders as we've been talking, as we look to build church build church family in a biblical way, in the way that God longs for it. Let me just pray before we go any further. Father, we do thank you. What an amazing thought that we have your ear whenever we want it. Crazy that we don't make the most of that more. And we just ask for this morning and today that you would be speaking to us, you'd be encouraging us. We are so subject to you, living God. This is not us saying this is where we're going to be taking God. This is us saying this is how we're going to be following God. You are before us, God. And so help us to fall in line with what you're doing in our lives as a community together. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. The first and probably the most important thing we feel for Grace Church in this pivotal moment is to keep the main things the main things. I like spy stories. I don't know if you like spy stories. I like them, especially real ones, true life ones. Ben McIntyre has written a couple in the last few years. Highly recommend. Exciting stuff. Kind of looking at the Cold War and just spies and the reality of how they work. It's just crazy, really. And they would, you know, radio signals and building radios and all of that. I was reading BBC News, I think November-ish time, and Richard Moore, who is the new chief of MI6, or well, not that new, but I think it was his first kind of comment. He was talking about how the world of spying and espionage has changed in recent years. This is a photo that was on the article on BBC. That is of MI6. The reason I like it is because it's taken from the bushes. So sneaky. Great spy work there. I just thought that was quite funny. Also, it has emerged that there is a real-life Q section in MI6, where they actually have all the gadgets and gizmos that they show all the spies. Cool, isn't it? But yeah, this article he was talking about, it just the world has totally changed with artificial intelligence, quantum computing, no idea what that is, and digital technology has just totally changed the game for how espionage works, biometric data, fingerprints and all of that, facial recognition. So false identities are just pretty much impossible for spies these days with the way it all goes. The point is that he was saying how much MI6 need to innovate to stay ahead of the game. And they must stay ahead of the game to be functioning in any meaningful way. And I was just reading this article and reflect, because that word innovate, I think, is a bit of a buzzword at the moment of need to be innovative and creative in those. In kind of every circle, that's the case, including church. People, you know, we live in a new world and we need to think of new ways of doing things. And it's true, certainly in this world, as you know, we find out what it's going to look like. This world, there are a host of things demanding our attention. But I just feel it's important that actually the church ultimately does not need to innovate in this time, but actually needs to keep the main things the main things. What are they? The main things. So the first few verses I read says, we always, this is Paul writing to the church, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. He says similarly, writing to the Ephesian church in chapter 1 of Ephesians, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He says to the Corinthians, and now these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. It's just worth saying, at Grace Church, we don't ultimately have any new priorities or new things that we need to be contending for, but we'll be contending for the same things that the church has been contending for since its inception. We're not, as the church, we don't react to the world. Fundamentally, we don't see what's going on and change what we do. We serve Jesus and we do church in the same way it's been done for centuries. And that's Grace Church. You know, it should be every church in the world. We're not totally looking to reinvent or innovate to that degree. So at Grace Church, I want us to focus on and grow in faith in Christ. That is going to be a main thing for us. When we say, you know, faith, trusting in God, help us to trust in God more, to grow in our security and our salvation, knowing that it is totally secure, growing in our expectation for him to move, growing in faith that he will work, growing in faithfulness in that sense. That's going to be a main thing. We want us to focus on and grow in love for all God's people. That is going to be a main thing as we move forward in Grace Church. Love in the sense of genuine affection for one another. Love that leads to action and support. The Bible talks a lot about that, not just empty words. Love that encourages one another. Love that challenges one another. Love that speaks truth to one another. That's going to be a main thing for us. We're going to focus on and grow in grasping our sure and certain hope in Jesus, which is where the passage says our faith and love spring from. That's going to be a main thing for us. Our hope, our confidence in our future hope that is sure, that is what sustains us through the storms. That we know, yeah, this is bad, but I know I have a certain hope. That's what gives us perspective on life, which we all need. It's so hard now with all these voices telling us this is the most important thing, to have perspective, an eternal perspective. We want to grow in these things. And hope is not, it's not that we grow in hope in the sense that we feel more positive and our chances of victory, you know, we feel like they are growing, because our chances of victory are certain. Hope in the biblical sense is absolutely sure, but we want to grow in our understanding of that, not grow in the chances of victory. That can't happen. We already know this. This is nothing new. This is not new information. But these are the main things that we are going to continue to focus on, because it is the gospel that bears fruit. Verse 6 says that we read, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. It always has been the gospel that bears fruit. It always will be. It's nothing else that is fruitful and effective. It is tempting to think it's about techniques, to think of new ways, of new ideas, new innovations. It is tempting for us, I think, in this pivotal moment to put our focus there. Think, okay, how can we do things in a new way? But we need to remember it's always been the gospel that bears fruit, and it's never right to focus on anything else. That is, it's these gospel things that Paul is thankful for when he says, I always thank God because of these main things. He doesn't, the passage says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard, and he doesn't actually say that you have tea and biscuits before the service, and so that's amazing, we thank God for that. He doesn't even say we thank God for your amazing prison ministry, or for your amazing life groups, or even that you're really nice, lovely people, that you're great people. He says, and they're all good things, right? Let's contend for all those things. But that's, Paul says, we thank God for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel thing. That's what bears fruit. And if we want to be fruitful as Grace Church, we do. So we must focus on the gospel. We must keep our focus on Jesus. Please don't mishear me in any of this. I'm not saying we are anti-creativity. We don't want anything creative or artsy or new or anything. That is totally not what I am saying. I'm saying that we don't want to be distracted by thinking that we have to be, that we have to do new things. We focus on the main things because it is the gospel that bears fruit. And from these things, as we focus on growing in faith and love and hope, we'll grow in prayer. We will grow in community, in discipling one another, in discipleship, in mission. We'll know that we want to see fruit. We want to go and expand and see God's kingdom come across heaven, across the areas we live in. We'll grow in our love of God's word. And all we do will be to that end, right? To focusing on the gospel, to faith and love and hope. And when I say keep the main things, that word keep is an important word, I think, for us right now. And when I say it's a pivotal moment for us, I don't mean because we need to, pivot and change, pivotal in the sense that it is of very high importance with regards to the future of Grace Church. So I say that because keep the main things. These things are what Grace Church has always been built on. There's nothing new there. Steve Petch planted Grace Church in 2006 with his wife Jo, and they planted it on these foundations of these core gospel principles. You may remember when David Thompson took on the eldership, the leadership of the eldership team from Steve Petch, he talks about Steve had kind of built the foundations of the church and the blueprints were written, and David wasn't going to come and build a different house on top of those foundations, build a circle house on square foundations or something, but just carrying on in the way that it's been built. And it's the same as we move forward now. We're not going to change the way Grace Church has been built. It's been built faithfully with the right foundations. So that's the case. But when we say to anyone, oh, keep going, you know, or if, you know, kids getting distracted, you say, keep focused, come on, keep focused, keep going, or keep it up, you're doing a great job. We say it because it's worth saying. We're not saying do something different, but we're saying it's worth a reminder. It's just worth a reminder for us, I think, to keep the main things, the main things. Where there are so many things fighting for our attention, trying to distract us, we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the other two that I'll share as well begin with keep. It's not radical stuff in that sense, and deliberate in that we're not reinventing the wheel. So second keep is keep it real. Personally, I welcome the news this week that came out this week that next week we won't need to wear face masks. And just similar to where we've been before, we won't mandate them at Grace Church, but keep a culture of grace where if you feel more comfortable wearing one, then that's absolutely fine. No one, let's not be judgmental. And if you feel more comfortable, or if you don't want to wear one, then we're not going to be judging them either. Keep that culture of grace among us. Again, I'll touch more on that this evening. But I welcome that news. I'm keen as well for us to do what we can to not be wearing any, you know, metaphorical masks either, not just these physical ones. It is so easy for us to come to church, to walk through those doors and mask up metaphorically and pretend we have things sorted out, because we know we're all a mess. So we don't want anyone to see that. We mask up and we cover it up. At Grace Church, we want a culture where we're not wearing metaphorical masks, where we're able to be real, able to come and be honest, be vulnerable with one another about our struggles, about where things are not easy. That's the culture we want. The Apostle Paul sets the tone for this, this kind of honesty. He says in 1 Corinthians, I'll put it up. There we go. This is what he says. This is the Apostle Paul, just brutally honest. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. It's extreme stuff. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. This is extreme. This is honest and raw, the way Paul talks about the things that they're enduring. It's beyond our ability to endure these. We are done in. It is very real. And this is the Paul. Like, he's an amazing guy. He wrote a lot of the New Testament, planted loads of churches, was apostle over the incredible guy, really resilient, and he is as honest as this. And it's so valuable and important that he gives a reason at the end why we must be real, why he is being real. He says this happened so we don't rely on ourselves, so we don't get too comfortable in our own strength, but that we are relying on God. I mean, that, when you boil that down, you think about that, is a profound reality that Paul is touching on. He is saying that God allowed, really that God ordained these things to happen, whatever he's talking about, that where he despaired of life, where it was too much. God ordained those things for that reason that he's given, so that they would not rely on themselves, but they would rely on God. I loved last week our stories of grace, and thank you for all who shared. It's so powerful, those stories, and really the tone was set last week, the tone of honesty and being real with one another. And so it's just such a great tone to set. There's something as elders that we are really trying to contend for, just with one another, to really have to be stepping into this realness, this being raw. Because, you know, I don't know if you do know, but we're not actually super holy elders. We're not that special at all. And it's easy for us to buy into the lie, but for us to try and keep this culture of being real is something we're really trying to do. I mean, let me be honest now. I don't really like honesty. I don't like doing any of this stuff. I don't want to be vulnerable. I want to put my mask on and pretend I have got it all sorted together. And that's how I want to do. I don't want to be honest about my struggles or my sins. I don't want to go there. But if we want a culture that is gospel centered, we've got to go there. If it's a grace based culture. And I am conscious that creating this culture starts with its leaders, starts with the fathers. Let me go a bit more. More honesty. I don't really know what I'm doing. Now, I have not got the skill set. I have not got this all figured out. I haven't got it all written out neatly. I feel like I know the Bible and, you know the main things and know what the priorities are biblically. But I don't know how to make that happen. I don't know what the future holds. I can't write it out. But for all that, I am trusting in God. And I do believe that he has called us as a church into, you know, where we are. And therefore, he will equip me because he has called me into this. And that is actually a place that I want to stay in for the rest of my life, where I am not relying on myself and I'm not thinking, let alone saying, I've got this sorted, I know what I'm doing, but always I'm saying, just as Paul says, I'm not relying on myself, but I'm relying on God. I'm leaning on God's strength to get through these things. And as we were singing earlier, as Johnny prayed for us, so helpful, you know, over fear, over lies and all of that, over all anxiety, we're not just saying it, but we're asking God. We know that we need him to conquer these things for us. It's not a case of us just doing it ourselves. May it long continue that I and all of us are relying not on ourselves but on God. We are a community together. Let's be real and keep it real with this honesty and vulnerability. And as part of that, Grace Church, we try and leave some time to grieve and process all that we've been through, all that has happened in the last couple of years, and not to downplay, not to underestimate their significance, but to, I think, be realistic about the toll that the 2 years have taken on every level. Not be surprised that they have, to think that we could go through one of these things totally unscathed, not to pretend that they haven't taken their toll, everything that's going on. And again, this doesn't come naturally to me. I want to be like, right, past is the past, let's move forward, let's get on with it, let's move on. But we all know, I think, if you've ever been through a significant trial, which you probably all have, when you're in the thick of that thing, you're not really processing it. You're just getting through it. And people say, oh, how are you coping? And you say, well, I don't know. What do you mean? What choice do I have but to just carry on and get through it? And it is only after we go through such things that we get a chance to actually reflect and try and process things. And every one of us have been through what we've just been through. We all know it has affected every one of us. Again, we didn't go to church for 15 months. That is going to damage us, individually and corporately. Like, we didn't gather I'm not saying we shouldn't have done it, you know, but it, let's just be real that it will have taken its toll. And then when we do come back, we come back social distanced and wearing masks. Social, I mean, what? Again, I'm not saying it's the concept is wrong, but what a horrible phrase to be socially distanced. It's the opposite of what it is to be social. It doesn't work. And yet that's the world we've been living in. We've not met. And then when we do meet, we come in these weird circumstances. This is exceptional. You know, this is not normal. It was, unless you lived with your mum, it was illegal to hug your mum. I mean, like, what? Just 2 years ago, like, where we live, in a very free culture, and yet it was illegal to hug our mums. I mean, that's nuts. Let's be real about how crazy everything has been. We have really just lived through that. And I know that we will all process things differently. And we do process at different speeds and in different ways. But we are going to leave space for it in Grace Church and not rush on, not expect everyone to be totally fine with all that we've just been through. Church is broken people sitting next to broken people and trying to be agents of transformation in one another's lives as we do that. It won't work. We won't be able to help each other if we're not real with one another. So we're going to keep it real. We're going to keep the main things. And kind of in that vein, we're trying very hard to keep it simple as well as we move forward in this key moment. When we weren't meeting together, we largely, I think, across the board, were kind of surviving and just sustaining. Occasionally, there were odd moments as elders, we would have some ability to get our head above the water and think a little bit more like, what do we think the world's going to be like? How do we think, what are we learning through this when we do come back? How are we going to, what might we change? What might we do differently? And to be honest, not a great deal in terms of Sundays. And that's all part of keeping the main thing. I think we're still going to sing and worship when we can. We're still going to hear the word preach. We're still going to have kids' work, trying to disciple our children and youth. And we're still going to have time to be together and hanging out and praying for one another. And so kind of not a great deal. The one thing that we were kind of realizing was that the general slower pace of life felt right. That was something that kind of was good. It was good to not be rushing around like crazy for a while. And even as we have emerged with, you know, we basically threw out our diaries for a while, it's taken some time to get used to using diaries again. I think just lots of people just double booking. I was like, oh yeah, sorry, these last 6 months have been a bit like that. And everything that we went through, that slower pace, I think, is something that we have learned and that we want to try and keep in some way in Grace Church. Jesus seems to encourage it. He says in Matthew, again, Johnny read this earlier, come to me, all you who are, this doesn't seem to be, you know, go crazy, be busy. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I think Jesus seems to think that a kind of a not a crazy pace is appropriate. And this is not easy, right? The culture, the world we live in, says fast is good, slow is bad. Go, go, go. Do, do, do. Busyness is like a badge of honor in our culture, like, oh, just so busy. I might be able to squeeze you in. I'm so busy, so overwhelmed with life. And we kind of wear it as a badge of honor. I think a bit slower is actually how Jesus wants us to be as his people. Not, you know, stressed out, rushing around by hectic lives. He gives us rest. And we want church to reflect that reality. So in contrast to the world, we're aiming for not hectic, but manageable and kind of a consistent rhythm with what we do as a church. And again, I think in that sense, God has created this world with consistent rhythm, placed us in that world. God doesn't start every day thinking, how shall I play this one? Shall I send the sun up today? Shall I just leave the stars for another day? Or it's the same thing every single day. He doesn't innovate in that sense. He doesn't feel the need to keep it fresh. He does the same thing every year as well. I know, you know, climate change is a thing, but we know what season is coming after this one because it happens every year the same way. There's a consistent rhythm. And as we shape the life of Grace Church and look at the diary, we want to keep that and try and keep things rhythmic and simple. Again, not anti-creativity, but just kind of pro-simplicity. And I think as we do this, I hope and pray and feel right that this will help us with the other two things we talked about, to keep the main things, and to keep it real with one another. John Mark Comer, you may have read him talking about this, and he says this: think about it. What's the highest value in Christ's kingdom economy? Kind of what's the main thing? He says, easy, love, which is good. We got that right. And then he goes on, Jesus made that crystal clear. He said the greatest commandment in all of the Torah was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, followed only by love your neighbor as yourself. But then he says, but love is painfully time-consuming. All parents know this as the lovers and most long-term friends. And it's true. Love is patient. The Bible says love is patient. If love is a main thing for us, and it is, I think we need to make sure that we are not going too fast, that we're not impatient in our love for one another or for God. And I think at the end of the day, a crazy pace, a complicated diary, these things are actually incompatible with keeping the main things the main things. So that's what we're going to try to do. Here's a little bit of how it will look with a kind of simple rhythm. I can tell you it is not simple to keep it simple. It's not easy when you're looking at it. And I know that the way this works will be more possible for some than others. But generally, I kind of said this before, but a bit of a new way, to being part of Grace Church, to get the most out of Grace Church will mean Sunday mornings and one evening a week for the majority of people. It'll look a bit like this, and Simon Taylor knocked this graphic up, it's a bit squashed, but essentially 1 week will be life groups in the week, and then the following week will be a Sunday evening thing, so it might be a come and worship or a prayer together. So through the week you've got one thing on the Sunday evening, and then the next week you've just got the life group on whatever day you have your life group. They're on different days across the church, and then Sunday morning, I think he's put there on refreshments or something that day for her own diary. That's his birthday. But you see the concept, hopefully, and if you don't, hopefully as we just go through life it will become pretty clear that you know essentially, okay, it's either life group this week or there's something going on Sunday night. And it will be rhythmic and consistent. We'll go through half term. We kind of stopped, but I think just for the sake of rhythm and getting in it, we'll keep going through half term because it's not too overwhelming. It does, half term to probably the majority of people in the church means nothing. And so we'll keep doing that. Again, I don't know if that will make sense, but hopefully it will become clear. A couple of disclaimers, which I don't want to undermine what I'm just saying. We want to keep it simple. We don't want to overwhelm anyone. We want to keep it rhythmic. But I don't want to give the impression like church is not important, really, so just don't worry about it. You know, take it. That's not the point at all. The point is actually it's so valuable, our time and community together. We want to make it manageable for everyone. And we want to keep it simple. There will be more if you're a kind of a leader. There'll be more evenings. That's part of the gig at the end of the day for leaders in Grace Church. And we'll do other things. You know, this is a prayer week. It's a little bit exceptional. We've got a prayer breakfast on Saturday morning. There'll be occasional events which will slip, but I think the rhythm will be consistent enough and you know, not too overwhelming that should be doable. And we'll go from there. We'll talk more about that this evening again in terms of how that might look. But they're where we're at. All right, we're going to keep the main things the main things. We're going to keep it real, keep it simple. This is a significant moment for us as Grace Church. It just is. And feel free to hold me, to hold us as leaders accountable to these things. Right? If you think I feel like we're slipping on, we're not keeping the main thing, or if you feel like it's getting a bit overwhelming again, you know, let's be real. Let's talk to one another. Do that. I think we all need that reminder. That's why we use the word keep again. But yeah, do come along this evening. We'll worship, family news, more details on how this will all look. And let me just be clear on this as a close. I am excited for the future. I think we're in a great place as a church. I think having a blank page or a blank canvas, you know, like I put up at the beginning, it can be overwhelming and be like, man, where do we start? But also, there's something really exciting about it, I think, as we move forward. So here's one more keep for us. Just, I think let's keep expectant, right? Let's keep our faith, you know, that God is going to be working through this. I'm not saying let's just chill out and not do anything. You know, let's press into God and keep our expectation levels high. God, for all that we, you know, don't understand, God has ordained these last 2 years. He has been in control over it. And I know that kind of raises questions, but it is the truth, and it answers more than it raises at the end of the day. We don't know his purposes, but he does have them. He is sovereign. And what was true for the Colossians when Paul wrote is absolutely true for us. That verse 6 again, Paul said to them, he says to us, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. God has worked through Grace Church through all of this. This is an exciting time for us as we move forward. I think it's an exciting time to be part of this community. So, you know, as Grace Church in heaven, let's expect God to work through. Let's, whatever this looks like 2022, let's expect that God will be working in our lives. Let's keep our focus on the gospel and believe God. Believe that the gospel will be bearing fruit in our lives, in a host of ways, and in the lives of those around us, in the lives of the people of heaven, in this community. Let's expect that. Why don't we stand? I just want to pray for us that we would keep our expectations. Feel free, the band that can come up. We'll sing again in a sec. But let me pray. Do pray with me. Pray in your heart. Close your eyes if it's helpful, whatever. But Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus, that we were far from you and you sent your Son and you have brought us near. Now we have relationship with the living God. We can know you. And as we do, we're in this pivotal moment, God, in light of these bonkers couple of years that we've been through, God. Would you raise our faith, Lord? As we think out, as we try and do all these, you know, at the end of the day, not overwhelm ourselves, but really press into you and into church community, into our brothers and sisters and loving one another. Would you raise our faith, God, that we would believe this would be a significant time? And that we would believe as people in this room, but certainly across heaven, across the areas we live in, as their security in their health and their wealth has just been obliterated, we pray, would people come and bow the knee before you? Would people come to know you? We pray for our friends and our families who don't know you, God. Would you keep our expectation high? Would we believe you that you're going to, for such a time as this, you're working among us? I pray, Lord, would you do a work? I pray here in heaven, in this amazing family, Lord, where we love one another, where we support one another, would your gospel be bearing fruit among us? I pray that you would that anxiety would decrease among us. That I pray for healings this year, Lord. I pray as we look forward, would we have physical healings. I pray for emotional healing, Lord. I pray that you would help us to grieve and process appropriately, and that you would transform us from one degree of glory to the next as you do that, Lord. As you work through us, help us to keep expectant. Help us to believe God is among us. God is in our midst. This is not just a club where we come and reflect, a group where we talk about our own experiences. This is a place where we gather in the name of Jesus to worship the living God. And as we do that, God, the living God himself, sends his very spirit to be among us and changing us and working and doing things. Lord, would we see you move in power? Help us, we pray. We need you. We so need you. So we ask, come and move and keep our expectation level high that you would be moving and working among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing and worship.